Welcome to Family Talk with your host, author, and speaker, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with Luann Crane. And if you're anything like us, raising your child to have a strong sense of morality and character is incredibly important to you. I mean, there are few other things I am more passionate about passing on to my son, Lincoln.
You know, what we're about to hear would have been extremely helpful to me when my kids were small. I would have liked to have heard and interacted with someone about these issues, because it really does go to the heart of parenting and grandparenting. And I think our listeners who are in those categories are really going to enjoy what we're about to say.
And yet, Doctor, the culture is so dead set against us trying to build those biblical character qualities in our children. I think about all the social media, the Facebook, the texting, and how we've kind of bred this casual appeal with our kids that we don't even have the ability to relate to each other anymore.
I agree, Luann. I think it's more than just parents and grandparents. It's anybody that's been on an airplane or a restaurant or a movie theater, anywhere that kids are, you can see what you're talking about.
And how the culture has changed in this regard. We're going to hear from two parents today who have used reading and literature to teach culture and character to their children. I'm speaking of former Senator Rick Santorum and his lovely wife, Karen. They have eight children, one of whom is in heaven. And we're going to hear a little more about that during the program. But I have the highest respect for this couple and what they're doing with their own children. It will be inspirational to all of us to hear this recorded message, because they set a godly example for other parents to emulate.
Well, this conversation we're about to hear, Dad, was recorded in Washington, D.C. a few years ago when Senator Santorum was still serving in the U.S. Senate.
Senator Santorum was, of course, a United States senator from Pennsylvania from 1995 to 2007. And he was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives before that, from 1991 to 1995. He is now doing great work serving as the senior fellow of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. I also hear that he's been working on a book about the threat of radical Islam, which should be incredibly interesting.
He is still on the forefront of so many issues, Doctor. I'm curious about that title you just mentioned. At the time you had this discussion, his wife, Karen, had just written a book called Everyday Graces, A Child's Book of Good Manners. That was the main topic of your discussion with them. I love this about Karen. She had a distinguished career of her own with a law degree from the University of Pittsburgh School of Law and a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. But she walked away from it all. Why? To be a homeschooling mom to their seven children. In fact, we'll hear her talk about that decision in just a moment.
Well, they are a couple of great role models for me. So let's listen in now to these insights from Rick and Karen Santorum on this Family Talk broadcast.
Karen, we're going to talk primarily about your book today, but I want to ask you a question. You've got the potential of two very exciting careers, law and nursing. And you did all the training, and yet you have poured your life into those six children. I think I know why. Tell other people why.
Oh, I just feel like my role as a mother is the most important job I will ever have. And I should extend that. I believe that my role as a wife and mother is the most important thing I will ever do. And I completely love it. And I love raising my children. I love being there every day. And I feel very blessed to be able to be at home with them. It's really wonderful.
And she homeschools on top of that.
Oh, my goodness. Does she really?
Yeah, she homeschools all those kids. So it's wife, mother, teacher.
Have you ever looked out at the women who are in these exciting careers and making money and advancing in the corporate world and so on? Have you ever looked at that and said, did I do the right thing?
I really believe that the devil really tries to work on mothers at home. And we all know he's the master of lies, and he will do everything he can to try to make mothers at home feel that way, like we're so inadequate, we're not fulfilled. And through my prayer life and just my relationship with Jesus, I feel without a doubt this is the most important thing I can do. It is what God wants from me. It's what he wants for my family. So I have, in the early days, I did once in a while, you know, Rick would be leaving to go to some nice event in a tuxedo, and I'd be on the floor cleaning up milk. I'd be like, what's wrong with this picture? And I feel so blessed and honored to be home, and I know that my presence in their life will make a difference.
Well, you've now written a book that comes right out of that relationship with those six kids and was motivated to some degree by the fact that there was not a similar book available. It's called Everyday Graces, A Child's Book of Good Manners by Karen Santorum, a foreword by Coach Joe Paterno. You guys are Pennsylvania all the way, aren't you? This is a little different than other books on manners. It's very different from most books on manners because this one is based on classic literature for the most part. And you use stories, things that others have written primarily. You wrote some of them, and Rick, you also wrote one of them, didn't you?
One minor edition.
Right. And use them to teach. Where'd the concept for that come from?
I'm a big believer that children learn best through role modeling and stories. And Rick and I we've read stories, thousands and thousands of stories to our children. And I just believe that we as parents are the first and primary role models of our children. But in addition to that, stories can serve as very good methods of teaching where children look to the characters in the stories and the messages, and they love to emulate the behavior of the characters that you're reading about. And I really believe that story time is a very important time. You know, when you put your child on your lap, it's a very important time for them of emotional and physical bonding with the parent. I think we all need to reassess our lives and to slow down a bit, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, except for your program, and read to our children and spend that time
Better
with
not
them.
Turn off my program. Those memories that I have of my mother reading to me, one time she, out of the blue, I didn't even ask her, she said, I want to read you a book that meant a lot to me when I was a young girl. And she chose a book that was primarily for girls, but I liked it. It was Anne of Green Gables. Don't you have a piece?
Oh, we've read
it
to our children, yeah. And the whole Tolkien series, and
you
C.S.
Have
Lewis,
lectures from Anne of Green Gables
Narnia
in this
series.
Book.
Yeah. And now we're reading Brian Jacques' The Redwall series book to the children. Uh-huh. One of our favorite things is to light the fire and all get together as a family and pray and to read books to our kids.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, as opposed to sticking a video in the VCR and sort of going off doing your own thing and staking the kids sort of by themselves locked into a television show. Karen's point about sitting a child on your lap, physically touching them, nurturing them, you being the storyteller, you interpreting that story, you nurturing them as opposed to sort of turning it over to Hollywood, is a fundamentally important part of parenting that, you're right, Jim, is being lost.
It's a great mistake, I think, to get going so fast that we don't have time for those moments with our kids because they're only going to be there for a short time. Now, let's talk about these classic stories. They're not all classic. Some of them are more current, aren't they?
Right.
But describe what you were looking for. How can you teach good manners through things that Aesop's fables and things of that nature? How can you do that?
Well, I think with children, I have found with my own children that when I sit them down and lecture them, they sort of tend to turn me off. And what I love is when you read a good story and there's a good moral lesson involved, they tend to get it better. And I have some funny examples. My son John, a couple years ago, he was practicing his baseball swing in our kitchen and put a huge hole in the kitchen wall.
That's a boy.
And it was the sweetest thing because he knew Mom was going to be really mad and he would be punished. And he came up to me and he said, Mommy, I cannot tell a lie. I did it. And I was thinking, you know, that was shortly after I'd read him the story of George Washington and the cherry tree, a story about telling the truth. And there are so many other stories, and I'm sure all of your listeners out there have them, where you've read a story to your children, and later on, you see it in their behavior where they're emulating someone from that story. And we've known as far back as Plato and Socrates that that works. It's a great way, and it's a fun way for children to learn.
Well, Jesus told stories.
That's right.
I mean,
Jesus,
you really want to move someone and help them understand a concept, you make it in story form.
That's true. Yeah. All the parables that we learn so much from, it does. It means a lot.
Let me ask you to read to us maybe one of your favorite stories from the book. This is a big book. I mean, it's big in size, but it's also 400 pages. You got a lot in here.
And it's funny, Dr. Dobson, the book was actually about twice this long. It just shows you how much great literature there is out there. Uh-huh. And I made more trips to local libraries and the Library of Congress with my children. They were very much a part of this book.
Were they really?
It was very much a, I don't do anything without my kids. It was very much a family project where we sat down and read and sifted through stories, and they really helped me through it and help me to put it together. But there is so much good literature out there. Mm.
Let's hear some
parents
of it.
Can use. Uh-huh. There's a sweet poem. It's called Mr. Nobody. The author is unknown. But I think it's so sweet because children, and my children often do this, where you'll ask them, who did it? And they say, I didn't do it. Uh-huh. And all six of them, I didn't do it. And I say, oh, so Mr. Nobody did it. So this poem sort of rung home for us. I know a funny little man, as quiet as a mouse. He does the mischief that is done in everybody's house. Though no one ever sees his face, yet one and all agree that every plate we break was cracked by Mr. Nobody. 'Tis he who always tears our books, who leaves the door ajar. He picks the buttons from our shirts and scatters pins afar. That squeaking door will always squeak, for prithee, don't you see, we leave the oiling to be done by Mr. Nobody. He puts damp wood upon the fire that kettles will not boil. His are the feet that bring in mud and all the carpets soil. The papers that so oft are lost, who had them last but he? There's no one tosses them about but Mr. Nobody. The finger marks upon the door by none of us were made. We never leave the blinds unclosed to let the curtains fade. The ink we never spill, the boots that lying round you see are not our boots, they all belong to Mr. Nobody.
Now you have a little commentary after each one of these, don't you?
I do. Would you like me to read
this
one? Just as your parents do so much for you every day, you can respond by doing loving things for your parents. One of the best ways to express your love for your parents is through your actions. Even the smallest thoughtful act, like picking flowers for your mother, will demonstrate your love. Remember that Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Good manners are made up of small sacrifices."
Mm-hmm. Now, you had a particular mission in writing this book. What was it?
Well, I look at our culture today, and I see how manners are sorely lacking. And I see a bigger picture, and that is to try to help increase civility,
yes,
definitely. When you look at what's going on out there, where there was a huge study just last April by Public Agenda that showed the 43% of teachers spend more time disciplining children, and they cannot teach effectively because the kids have very bad manners. Mm. And 81% of those teachers say it's because parents are not disciplining their kids at home and teaching them good behavior. And then there was there's so many studies out there now that are confirming that we really need to work on this.
Yeah, and especially boys. I talked about this in my book, Bringing Up Boys. There's a phenomenon known as the rude boy. And we're teaching it. I mean, what do they grow up with? They grow up with a World Federation of Wrestling. Is that what it is?
WWF.
And you know, they're taught through the sitcoms and everything else that they watch to be brash and rude and undisciplined. And you're trying to counter that.
Definitely. I loved your book, Bringing Up Boys. It helped me immensely with my boys because they're very different than girls, and the issues are very different, and how you deal with them are. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's very important that parents instill these values in children. And more importantly, I always tell my children, the most important thing we need to do is to be pleasing to God every day.
The culture in America today is a me-centered culture. It's a culture about doing whatever you feel you want to do and don't worry about how it affects other people. And manners is really just the opposite of that. Manners is showing respect for someone else, actually looking out for their interests, whether it's opening the door or whether it's waiting in line or whether it's just being saying a kind word. All of those things, it's a change of worldview. And unless parents are instilling those values in their children at an early age, the culture around them is going to take them. And
yeah.
If there was a study done, Mark Rich, who's up at Harvard, is a pediatrician. They did a study in that the average kid in America, average adolescent in America, spends 6.5 hours in front of a TV, a computer, or listening to a CD or the radio. And they spend 10 minutes with their parents.
Unbelievable.
So who's raising these children?
Yeah.
And with this project, and it's Karen's project, what she's trying to say is, look, you know, the culture is going to get them eventually, but you got to prepare them. You got to prepare them and lay that foundation. And in a way, the storytellers of our culture are Hollywood today. And this is an attempt to sort of bring back the storytelling into the home. Children need to be entertained, want to be entertained. This is a way to do it where you're the entertainer and you provide the moral of the story, not someone in Los Angeles.
You know, what is so distressing is the amount of time kids spend watching MTV, which is the antithesis of what you're trying to do here. And you're trying to come at it from another angle, Karen. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. The title of the book is Everyday Graces, a child's book of good manners aimed at civility and civilizing our kids. I've written in Bringing Up Boys that they need to be civilized. They're not born civil. They have to learn to be civil. And these stories represent a great way to go about it. The author is Karen Santorum and a lot of other people, because these are classics going back a long ways. And it is a book that I strongly recommend to parents. We only have a second or two left. Karen, you've written another book called Letters to Gabriel, and it came out of a very distressing time of your life. Take just a second or two to remind people of that book.
It initially started as a diary when I was pregnant with our fourth child, who we discovered had a fatal birth defect. And we did everything we could to hold on to him and that life. And unfortunately, we lost him. But you know, the beautiful thing, through the tears and the pain, it was the most difficult thing we had ever been through. But you begin to see God's grace later, yeah, and the joy beyond the pain. And you know, God will never leave you alone in that dark valley. He takes you by the hand, and he is holding your hand, and he will bring you through into the sunshine. And that's what he did. And I've seen so many blessings in Gabriel's life. The book Letters to Gabriel came about because the diary that I had kept, my mom and dad asked if they could see it. They had lost a baby. Gosh, it was 46 years before they had read this little diary that I kept.
Yes.
And they called me one day crying on the phone.
Yes.
And they said this helped us so much to move beyond our pain and to recover. And they said, you really should do something with this. And it was really only by the grace of God and only by my parents' encouragement that it really became a book, because it is very private.
Yes.
But so much beauty has come out of it. So thank you.
That little boy is waiting for you, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can't
you
wait
know,
to see him again.
Someone said, and I think this is beautiful, that you had hoped to introduce Gabriel to the Lord. Now he will introduce you to the Lord.
Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. I always say the most important thing we can do as parents is to get our children into heaven, to help our spouses and each other and our children to get into heaven. Isn't that really what this life's all about?
How can anything compare with that?
Oh, nothing.
Not even a law degree or a nursing degree?
Nothing at all.
I've said many times in talking about Gabriel that at that moment, eternity became reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that my job at that point, when I lost my son and I knew he was going to heaven, that really that's my mission as a father.
Our role as parents, beautifully summed up there by our guests, Senator Rick Santorum and his wife, Karen, on this Family Talk broadcast, Doctor.
Oh, Luann and Ryan, I loved that interview. That's one of my favorites so far this year, because the words that we heard, especially from Karen Santorum,
it just moved me. Mm-hmm. This was a program that I wish could have been an hour longer because Karen especially has so much to say to us. Mm. And we will come back to this couple again in the future.
It really was powerful, Dad, and it just speaks to me as a father. Uh-huh. You know, that is my ultimate goal. Literally, the prayer I pray with Lincoln every night always ends with, and that he will grow up to serve the Lord.
Uh-huh. So I'm praying the same prayer, right?
Man, my palms sweat even saying that. Dad, I know we're about to close our program today, but would it be okay if I took a moment to talk with our listeners? Would that be okay with you? I don't mean to take the reins. This is your program, but there's kind of something that I want to say.
No, this is our program, and this is God's program, Ryan, so you do it.
I appreciate that. You know, Dad, I've had the unique and amazing opportunity of being with you and Luann on the air for the last 10 months, and in that time, I've come to see the ministry that you do in a completely different light. I was thinking recently about organizations that provide food and shelter and first aid to victims of floods and hurricanes, famines, wars, other natural disasters, and I support them. I see the need for organizations like that. But I have begun to see Family Talk in the same way. You know, we are a ministry that is providing first aid to families in crisis. Mm-hmm. There are marriages coming apart at the seams. There are parents with child-rearing problems and so many other difficulties. I mean, Tobin, my own co-host on Grounded, his wife of 19 years, has a massive stroke and his family is thrown into a tailspin. And I know that you see these people. You have seen them for, you've seen them for decades, and you deeply feel their need. And you have specifically sought to create materials, either on the radio or through your books and other resources, to meet those needs, to rescue families in crisis. But we are in a crisis here as a ministry. Our finances are down. In January, February, and March of this year, we have received about 25% of what it takes to run this ministry. But the truth is, we can't do it without the financial support of our listeners. We are a listener-supported ministry. And I just want to ask our listeners, we appreciate you. We love you. We think specifically about you each and every day in this broadcast to try to bring something to the table that will minister to you and will strengthen you. And we need your support.
My goodness, Ryan. I don't know where that came from, but it was said with passion, and I see tears in your eyes. This is why I didn't retire a year ago. I did see families falling apart and divorces occurring and children that weren't being introduced to Scripture and lacking in discipline and all of that. I also saw a culture in decline, and that's why Family Talk is here. But also, as you alluded to, Ryan, we're not making it financially. I mean, that's flat out true. And the ministry was surviving through the end of the year, but since then, contributions have just fallen like a rock. And I'm not even sure that we have the funds to make it through April.
And yet, Doctor, just last week, we had a wonderful gathering of our board members here. Tell us a little bit about what came out of that.
We have an absolutely wonderful board, as you know, Luann. And I just wish that our listeners knew all of them personally. Mm-hmm. They are so dedicated to what we're doing. They believe in it.
Yes.
And believe in it passionately. And Shirley and I had been praying about this time together. And what came out of that session was word that a friend to this ministry has pledged $500,000 that will be given as a matching fund. So everyone who gives $1 is actually giving $2. And everybody who gives $25 is giving $50, up to $500,000. Wow. And that appears to be God's answer to the prayer. And so we don't have time to talk about it here. We'll do it more later. But I just want to say to our listeners, if you can help us at this time, it will double itself very quickly. In fact, immediately. And we would certainly appreciate it. And just ask our listeners to be in prayer for what God would have you do. And we are going to make it. And Ryan, thank you for that affirmation. It's a pleasure working with the two of you.
Well, it's a pleasure working with the two of you. And if our listeners right now would like to help us out, you can do so at our website at myfamilytalk.com. What an exciting thing to think that anything, any amount somebody could give will be doubled. Again, that's myfamilytalk.com. Or you can call us at 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Or if you're even able to put a check in the mail at this time, you can send it to us here. Our mailing address, Family Talk, 540 Elkton Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907.
And most importantly, be in prayer with us about this issue. Ryan, you talked about tools made available to families. I believe the Lord ordained this ministry, and I think He's going to sustain it.